Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. We're going to go off on a subject that I thought we would never be going off on because it wouldn't be necessary on the KE report. A lot of pedophilia going on in the United States. I want to give you a bit of my feeling about this. Fox News covered it pretty extensively yesterday with pictures, photographs, etc., etc. It's making me sick. My contention, as you guys know, Jerry, you know this, and so do you, Tony, and everybody, you know, Evelyn. I have been saying for a long time that my problem seems like moral values in the United States have just slipped down to nothing. And I can go on example upon example upon example, but there's no point in doing that right now. This pedophilia thing is really scary. It goes along with the sex change operations for infants, which Fox also covered yesterday. It goes along with what's going on in America in terms of moral values. For those of you who have read Genesis, you know what I'm talking about when I give Sodom and Gomorrah as examples. Two very, very corrupt cities who basically had basically had incredibly lax moral values, and actually both the cities encouraged doing whatever felt good, so to speak, in a sexual standpoint. I don't agree with that. Jimmy, you and I were talking off mic about this pedophilia thing. You've been following it for some time. Let's get into that, and then after that, let's get into this depopulation thing that Tony and Larry and Jerry have been talking about. Pedophilia, though.
Of course, yeah. So what I think what we're seeing right now is the amount of influence that major, I guess, you know, if, not just corporations, but actual people that live inside these ideologically driven bubbles, very, very wealthy, yeah, that live with without much moral character or moral regard. And, you know, it's expanding. You know, you have so many negative moral examples out there, and the acceptance and tolerance of moral degradation has been driven through this Hollywood that are just actually kind of sick. Yeah. And they're pushing, they now have power. And they're pushing those agendas on so many others. And, you know, I mean, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, Ed Buck, you name the big money people behind.
And that was only the beginning, Jim.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's go right back to Bill Clinton, yeah, and the whole thing with the 20-year-old, 21-year-old intern in the White House.
Right.
And how that was kind of brushed over with, swept under the rug,
right,
kind of glossed over. From that political agenda. And I think it's because a lot of the people that live in those circles, they have, not only do they have no moral values, that they've kind of evolved into a position of like, we have more money and we obviously have more influence, that we aren't bound by the same rules that simple people are. And so they do these things behind doors, and they have these crazy lifestyles, massive amounts of money to buy whatever they want, buy whomever they want, and live whatever way they want. And then they have power and money. They want to force, they want to protect their own interests by forcing others to accept it.
Right.
And the more power they have, the more corruption you have. Hunter Biden is the perfect example.
Yes, he is.
Here's a guy that lost all sense of decency, that was out paying massive amounts for hookers, flying them all over. Very young girls, apparently, according to some reporting, and doing drugs and thinking that he can't be, you know, he's not going to be held accountable for it. Well, the same thing happened with Jeffrey Epstein. He was basically slapped on his wrist.
Yeah.
Initially, and then eventually it came out.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, Harvey Weinstein, you've got, again, just large numbers of very influential people that kind of live in this bubble,
yeah,
that have the money and the power, and they basically don't respect the moral compass that most of us have, people of faith, have lived with. And that's why they're attacking faith as well.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, I think that if a person is not affecting anybody else, is not harming anybody else. I really don't care. You know, the lesbian, gay, transsexual lifestyle, et cetera, is something that is a pretty individualistic thing in my mind. It certainly goes against the teachings of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I can't judge. I'm not God. I wish I was sometimes, but I can't judge that. But when you start talking about major industries getting out there and really, for lack of better terms, pushing really strange sex, i.e. pedophilia, that is something that is very definitely affecting these children and a whole bunch of other people.
Well, here's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want to get anybody else's personal business, right?
No, that's right.
My basic thought. But no. There are basic values that our society has evolved over, you know, millennia to encode certain rules that actually benefit society overall,
right,
and make us stronger and actually better, more respectful to each other, and less problems in our lives.
Sure.
That's why, you know, the institution of marriage through the church, you know, developed.
Yeah.
That's why we have these different rules that you don't expect, you know, and the law in the past kind of codified what was morally right. Now what's happening is an attempt to shape the law to codify what's morally wrong,
mm-hmm.
what is absolutely against that. When you allow that, it's definitely a slippery slope. You start sliding down it and you can't stop.
Yeah.
And that's the problem where we're facing right now, where the tolerance and the acceptance of even pedophilia is becoming kind of a statement in university circles and intellectual circles, where, you know, they're calling them minor attracted persons, MAPs, and not pedophiles. Mm. And of course, that's incredibly destructive to our society.
Yeah.
As is, you know, taking away the institution of marriage, as is, you know, in my view, taking away the basic principles of faith and moral codes that have got humanity to a point that exists today. But again, this is a kind of a driven by U.S., EU, kind of European central idea.
Yeah.
Much of the world does not listen to this stuff and
is
absolutely fighting against it.
Right. Well, I want to get on another subject. We can talk about this, you know, we can talk about it on the weekend show. I can do some more research. You can do some more research if we think it's important. I think given the magnitude right now of the problem of pedophilia, I think that's very important. The other things I think are a matter of individual choice. Now, the one thing that I find very interesting right now, and I'm willing to talk about this also on the weekend radio show, is Irish Tony and Jerry got very, very into the concept of depopulation. Jerry is doing a major study. I would define what he's doing as a major study on depopulation. And I thought it was kind of funny at first, and then I started to think about it. And I said to myself, you know, this guy from Indiana is probably absolutely correct. You know, as this Irish guy living in England right now, they're probably absolutely correct. When you combine the concept of depopulation with the concept of this COVID thing, it gets really, really interesting. You've got some thoughts on that, Jim.
Yeah, well, let's talk excess deaths. Because of not only COVID, but which, you know, for all, you know, most people are now agreeing that it was created in a lab. Whether it was released on purpose or whether it was an accident, nobody knows. At this point, somebody does know, but it'll be very difficult to find out because the current administration of the United States and the European Union are not willing to go in and research it because the pharmaceutical industries are lobbying them heavily, as are the health departments and the health administrations around the world because of their connections with the pharmaceutical industry. So we aren't going to find out the answer with that, but we've got a large number of excess deaths.
Let's talk about that, Jim. I find that to be fascinating, the concept of excess deaths. Deaths way above the norm. You got any numbers?
Well, I can go back from the what was expected in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, from 2018 or 2015 to 2019, it looked like that there were maybe 200,000 to 300,000 deaths in addition to what their expectation numbers were based on previous years in 2020. And they were attributed often to COVID.
Yeah, but
as the numbers were coming out more, it was actually not because of COVID, but possibly with COVID antibodies.
Yeah.
So it's hard to distinguish because the FDA, I'm sorry, the CDC and National or the Health and Human Services under the current administration are unwilling and be very protective of this type of data research. Now, what we've also seen is after the 2021 kind of, you know, it began to decline, we see more of these, what they call sudden deaths or unexpected deaths, and they're happening to a very large number of young people. So what insurance agencies are reporting is that early deaths are increasing somewhere to 40 to 50%.
Jim, I'd like to talk about this on the weekend radio show, and I'd like to talk about it with hard numbers, and I'll give you a hand on that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we can take a look and actually give, you know, for the radio, give some good numbers. But the general issue, the general concern here is, where are we headed? How much of this is because of the lockdowns? How much of it is because of social breakdown? How much is the economic impact? And this is in the United States. No one's really looking collectively at how much this is hurting the third world, or if it is hurting the third world.
Yeah.
You know, the European numbers are showing very significant changes. Many European countries have stopped mandating vaccines for everybody, but specifically for children, or even allowing children to take it. Yet our CDC and Health and Human Services are continuing to push it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense at all. We don't have, and this is the, these are facts that you cannot dispute. We do not have long-term research on the implications, the long-term implications of mRNA vaccinations, the spike protein, this nanolipid method of delivery into your system, and what that will mean. There is no long-term studies. Absolutely unacceptable, in my view, for people to continue to push these narratives like Anthony Fauci did in his last press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
When in fact there's no data to support it, and what data is coming out is actually undermining all the arguments that the CDC, the FDA, NIH, NAIAD, and Health and Human Services have put out.
Yeah.
It is becoming unbelievably disingenuous, and if in fact we don't get to the bottom of this as a nation, their concerns about depopulation, I think, are going to be realized. You know, people are going to continue to suffer when our health authorities and our leaders and political leaders should be looking into this.
The only place where I would probably begin to disagree with you or begin to question what you're saying a little bit is that off mic we were talking about an increase, excessive death numbers. And we were talking about maybe 100,000, 200,000 people. That's a minuscule number compared to the concept, or within the argument of the concept of depopulation. I think if the numbers were larger than that, everybody would be very concerned. Any comment?
Yeah, so I get your point, but if you're talking about, you know, 2 million deaths and then another 300,000 deaths, it's over 10%. Right?
Oh, now, very, very disconcerting to me, Jim.
So what happens if that continues on for 10 years?
Of course.
These are huge potential numbers.
Yeah.
And of course, the argument is we have to continue to push the vaccines, the vaccines, the vaccines, more boosters, more boosters, more boosters. Every year a booster, very similar to a flu shot. Now, how did this happen? I want to know, because 2 years ago, there was no flu. In fact, where their typical case, you know, there's like unbelievable decrease in flu. But all of a sudden this year, when they're not testing specifically for COVID, all the flu numbers are going up, and they've got this respiratory viral syndrome, RVS, which they say are, you know, really pressing people. When you look at the symptoms of RVS, you're identifying a friggin' cold.
Yeah.
stuffy nose, scratchy throat.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that all along. And oh, by the way, this time of the year is typically the time it starts to peak as people start going indoors. Temperatures get colder. People start connecting more. The sunlight is lower.
Yeah.
So it's not killing some of these germs, and we're getting sick and passing it and spreading it. So what difference is that now than ever before? I'll tell you what it is. People have been using this for marketing campaigns in order to achieve power and control of people. And it's, in my view, we've allowed health professionals to be influenced by big corporations, governments influenced by big corporations to achieve their ends, not in the best interest of the people. That has to stop.
Jim, you watched the press conference with the lady who was representing the government and Anthony Fauci. What happened there again? It was really kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, funny in one sense, absolutely ridiculous in another. You know, towards the end of the conference, this press conference, you know, Fauci's out there saying, oh, this is going to be another, you know, people are in danger, the ones that are unvaccinated. I'm sorry, but I'm not in danger. You know, I've had it a couple of times. You know, natural immunity is as good as anything else. So that's a lie. And the other thing that in the end of the conference, I believe it was a reporter, possibly from the Daily Caller, I'm not sure, but asked about Wuhan and the actual, you know, origins of the virus and whether or not Fauci had anything to say was involved in. Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, immediately jumped into that, silenced the reporter. And as other reporters were kind of angry with it and saying, hey, what's going on? This is a legitimate question for the guy that was responsible for much of this and funding some of the research in the Wuhan lab. And she got very defensive, silenced everybody, shut them down. This is not looking good for the White House. They continue to push and silence people. They're using their power to silence the tech companies. And thank God people are starting to wake up to it. But boy, we've got to wake up a lot more, because they are absolutely, in my view, they're responsible for a large number of deaths that could have been avoided if they would have been looking at this objectively and actually not taking the bidding of powerful entities for political.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have some hard numbers on that this weekend, along with definite sources where those numbers came from. The purpose of the Daily Editorial today was simply to talk about what's going on with the pedophilia thing, which is terrifying, and just to comment on, Jerry, what you and Irish Tony were talking about in terms of depopulation. Very, very interesting subjects, you guys. Jim, thanks so much for your time, bud.
Hey, Alan, I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving holiday for those here in the United States. For those that are in other places, be thankful for the United States' existence and with all the problems we've had and all the challenges that we're facing right now. I'm incredibly thankful for my family, for what I have and what I've been able to do to try to better my life and those of the lives of those around him. So all of you have a happy Thanksgiving, and I guess we'll get back to you on Friday before the weekend.
And let me add one thing to that. I want to say that I really, really appreciate free speech in the United States. We haven't even come close. Nobody has ever told us, cut down on some of the subjects you're talking about. Nobody has ever said that. I've never had a conflict with Facebook or the other one, but I've never had a conflict because I don't participate in those organizations. I echo Jim's thought. You know, my kids are coming up here to celebrate Thanksgiving with me today and tomorrow. I thank God for that. And I just want to say, you guys, very happy Thanksgiving. We were talking about the Canadian Thanksgiving last night, and I know you guys are very, very supportive of your Thanksgiving holiday, and you should be.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.
God bless you all. We will talk with you on Friday.